But we do not aim them towards people, he clarified on having found out of my thoughts. Later Ami said that it was time to set off because on the following day he would have to go very far to realize another mission. Vinka and her uncle and aunt had a very emotive but not sad farewell. The truth is that my new uncle and aunt were too satisfied and happy with their change of life, that removed the drama from the farewell. But I got excited because Gora was already not the old Gora but a kindly and pacified Swama who was smiling and was patting my clapping occasionally, and I could not avoid to begin to feel fondness for him. And if this girl does not relax and finishes her book fast, we will be back here soon. I am starting it tomorrow, she exclaimed. 9 Shambhala. Once we settled in the ship, Ami said to us that he had something more to show us before dropping us in our house of the beach, and that this was going to be more important of everything that he made us know till now in all the trips. I thought that we were going to go towards a different world. That's why when my blue planet showed up behind the windows, I said, "But this is Earth, Ami. Certainly this is what I want to show you." Hum. Well, that is not going to be much of a novelty. You spoke of showing us a civilization inside the sea, was it this? No, but when we are going to Kitali Vinka's manuscript, we will be able to visit one of them, and not exactly in the Earth, and also we will be able to go to see an artificial planet. And if... And why do they construct artificial planets? Vinka interrupted him. Because the sun is going to die exploding, destroying all its planets. But before that happens, the inhabitants of this solar system must be evacuated en masse. For that they have constructed these artificial planets, which can be directed as if there were extraordinary ships and led to orbit some another sun. But we will see that later, and if you wish we will be able to throw a glance at the past, but what you are going to see is more important for you. He lowered the ship and we begin to advance towards Himalayas, for then to throw ourselves straight towards one of those hills at an impressive speed. I understood that as in case of Shia Salim and Hexis we were going to cross the solid matter to go into the interior. That's why I did not feel fear, but Vinka, yes, like always, closed her eyes when it seemed to her that the shock was inevitable. I did not do it because I already knew that nothing was going to happen, and especially because I wanted to know what would appear behind the glasses while we were penetrating the rock. Not at all, a little black smoke that lasted a fraction of a second and then a big clarity. We are in a civilized territory again, children, Ami said very happily. I was hoping to see something similar to Shia Salim or to Hexis, but no, this was completely different. These previous places gave me the impression of being modern cities, while here it seemed to me to have come to a territory of ceremonies or something for the style, because behind the windows a white city appeared of small buildings, mostly semicircular except for one big construction with the form of a sphere and also of white color, which was standing out imposing and beautiful in the center of the city. There were no other major constructions. That brilliant sphere was supported by four arms or supports slightly curved that were holding it at its equator, and also its lower part was resting on the ground. This building was the most important of the underground base. Four big ones, avenues sowed with trees, meadows and flowers were converging towards her, finishing in front of each of those supports. I observed many ships' displacements and enough people below, but in spite of that one was feeling a lot of harmony and peace. This base is called Shambhala, children. Shambhala. I have listened to this name, Ami. I believe that it is a song. It can be Pedro, because Shambhala is present in many ancient traditions like Agadir or Agati, the Gilding Shangri-La, and other bases of ours that are not yet so well known. And if there are secret bases, how is it that in the old traditions they found out about the existence of them? Many traditions shut up truths capable of illuminating the men in their way towards the knowledge, Pedro. Sometimes we have left tracks ourselves intentionally, but just a little, as if it was a story, a little as if it was a reality, something like books that you write. He could not have explained it better. We are going to land close to that laboratory with a form of a sphere. Laboratory? I was thinking that this was a stadium. No, Pedro. Rather, it might be said that it is a temple, because the works that are realized here have to do with the same that happens generally inside temples, that is to say the generation of higher levels of spiritual energy. It did not seem to me that the purpose of the temples was that one exactly. Nevertheless, this is its top purpose from not such an earthly point of view without considering its particular religious system. It is something like electricity if it comes from thermal nuclear wind solar plants or from dams if you need to light the light. Little importance is its origin for you.
Sure.
Well, I want that you meet a friend of mine. Prepare yourselves to descend. I felt clearly that this city had a mystical ambience. Correct, Pedro. You noticed that the energy here is different, higher and thin. That is because we are in an important spiritual center of the planet Earth and because you are paying more attention to your inner senses. How is this? Is not this city like Shyasalim? No, Vinca. In the not evolved or uncivilized worlds, there are bases dedicated to a few works and others dedicated to other things. In Shyasalim, the social and political evolution of Gaia is supervised. In other bases, one attends to the scientific or technological evolution, while Shambhala is one of the centers dedicated to the spiritual supervision of humanity of the planet Earth. The temple was placed in the center of an enormous flagstone or patio of a material similar to diamond or to crystal. Our ship stopped over this immense jewel in a place destined for the parking of air vehicles. This is the biggest platform of crystal of quartz of this planet, boys. It is the thinnest quartz. This crystal has the virtue of concentrating and of amplifying the mental vibrations, and since here a lot of work destined to generate raised mental or spiritual vibrations is generated, these energies are projected from here towards everywhere in the planet. We passed through the bath, descended to the ground and went towards the temple. Forearms that were holding it had to at this side, two thin eyelashes that were escalators upward on the right side and downward for the left side. The stairs were for the entrance located at the top in the equatorial sphere. We went into one of them and began to rise, but there were not any rails and the breadth of the steps was no more than a meter and the height was getting more and more impressive. I had to make an effort so that I was not dizzy. Also, I attached myself as much as possible to the wall. Vinca was in front of me. She looked at me with fright, with desire of putting herself on the knees. I embraced her from behind. Do not look down, Vinca, and nothing will happen to you. Rather think of maintaining you in a balance to become serene, Ami said to her. She did like that and felt better. It seemed to me that that place was very dangerous. If the dizziness seizes you, ciao. I thought that it was idiotic or sadistic not to put rails there. Here inside, works of elevation of the spiritual energy are realized, boys, and quality of this type of energy depends on the good condition of our body and of our mind. Who does not have the nerves or the body sufficiently well to rise even here, he does not deserve to enter this place because he will not be able to radiate a raised spiritual energy. I understood, but I thought about my grandmother. Neither that madwoman would rise over here in spite of being one very good and very spiritual person, and the matter seemed a little discriminatory to me. Of course Ami listened to me. She is very good and very spiritual, Pedro, but those who work here have one big responsibility of the people of this world. They must be in an unbeatable mental and physical condition to realize this work well, and these stairs allow them to measure themselves before entering the place. If during the trajectory they feel bad to come above, they return and wait another day up to feeling 100% well. A good physical and mental state guarantees a good spiritual condition because our body is the three-dimensional image of the state of our soul. This time I understood. It was not a discrimination but levels of professional spirituality. We came above on the verge of the laboratory temple. Go in silence and with respect, children. This way we did it. From the entry towards the circular corridors, patios were spreading with plants, flowers and small shrubs, and especially places with seats destined perhaps to contemplate what happens there below in the low and central part where one saw the naked slab of quartz crystal. Above it there was a beautiful altar, beautifully illuminated. The most outstanding thing were seven brightly shining precious stones of approximately 2 meters of height, each one with obelisk forms and of different colors. A group of hooded men in white garments had formed a circle around one of the stones that of violet color. The enormous gems were installed on triangular bases of one crystal so gleaming that it looked like to me like a diamond. It is a pure diamond, Pedro, so that it transmits better the spiritual vibrations of those hooded persons from the gems to the big base of crystal of quartz, and from there they set off towards the souls of this world. There were many people, most belonged to a copper race. They were of a size much larger than ours, but not so much like the people of Ophir, who were measuring 3 meters of height. These beings were measuring about 2 meters. They had skulls bigger than ours and slender and athletic bodies. They were dressed in loose clothes and without necks. The men were beardless and the women were not so curvilinear as some earthlings. Their figures were very thin and stylized. Their faces seemed stretched backwards as if they had been done a facelift without any wrinkles. They had very big and serene eyes of the same colors that can be found in the people of the earth, that is to say black, brown, gray, green and blue, with the whole intermediate scale. They had skin just as a person who has got lot of tan, and the hair between chestnut tree and gilding something curly. Both men and women used it very short. I did not find a single earthling. Ami smiled and said to me in low voice, "There are many earthlings here." I did not see any unless there was anyone hooded the below those who had their arms above and were singing, praying, or I do not know what, but they were expressing notes prolonged with their voices. The ambience and the sound were very beautiful, so much that Vinca began to get excited. I was looking with brilliant and wet eyes. To me it was giving me goosebumps with the strange vibrations of the place. "Do not get excited very much, boys, we have to go the below." We kept on descending until we were standing up on the quartz slab much close to the person's circle about the violet color stone. Ami led us towards a side door. We went in and we saw a stairs that was going further down still to a tube. We went down and came to an illuminated corridor, walked in the corridor, and then we joined a lounge to the left. There was a very tall man who was waiting, standing along with a conferences table. He was not an earthling, but of that race that was prevailing in the place. He looked at us with amiability, tenderly rather, and he greeted us, extending the right palm towards us, taking it then to the heart the same way as was done by Shia Salim Terrace. "Welcome to Shambhala, children. My name is Shia Yuk, and it is I who coordinates activities that are realized in this laboratory. Take your seat, please." All of us sat. He made me remember a little the commander who we talked to in the previous meeting, that is to say the being who directs the whole plan of help to my planet, but no, this one was much less impressive. He was turning out to be more human, more closer to us. But he belongs to the same planetary race as the commander, Ami clarified. It is true. That's why he was reminding me of him so much. Shyuk spoke emotionally and respectfully about the commander. "But he blessed he be as one of the souls of my race who is filled with light. Well, do you want to ask about something, children?" he said to us, smiling nicely in a tone inviting us to converse. No question occurred to me but to Vinca. "Yes, from what planet do you come?" Ami and Shyuk laughed. I asked why they were laughing. Because Vinca was direct and Shyuk hated all the playing around. Direct and to the point it was. "And the answer is going to surprise you." Vinca did not believe it. "Do not think that we are going to be astonished very much, because we are already accustomed to know aliens born in many distant places." "I am not extraterrestrial but terrestrial," Shyuk said very seriously. "What?" The child in white child laughed at us and said, "The first trip was your first grade in the topic universal life, and also for your readers. The second trip was the B. And this is the C. Every time you have been deepening more in these matters. Now be prepared, because what comes now is pure dynamite. This is my world," continued the man of Shambhala. "Here I was born, here my ancestors were born. I and all my brothers who are similar to me, all of us are earthlings. Those so advanced beings. Earthlings. Living in our world from generations." Ami was right. That one took us as a surprise. "But here also there are some of our brothers who are of the past and who come from the distant world that we left behind so many millenniums ago." Shyuk kept on speaking without stopping, but I will do a summary of what he said. I can guarantee that if to know that he was an earthling we were surprised, that was not compared at all with the infinite surprise that produced in us the things that he was saying later. I will start with an example. In worlds like yours, children, there are men who go to deserted or inhospitable or recluse places and they settle there with their families. They create irrigation methods, they so breed animals, they have more children, and with work and time they manage to establish one place where it is possible to live. Later others go so far as to settle around the close by with their families. The place grows and grows, and in the end there arises a village or a city, and where earlier there was nothing they create a place full of life. These are the pioneers or settlers. When the nations are in formation and have begun inhabited territories, governments usually promote the colonization's financing and supporting the pioneers, because as a country grows it is done more strongly. This is a tendency inherent in life: to scatter, to expand, to include more, to be more perfect and survive in better conditions every time, and then to give the possibility to another, their descendants, and to live every time better. The Brotherhood of Evolved Worlds, in accordance with the will of higher hierarchic levels, and all this inside a divine plan, who's been sowing life for the stars for million of years. I thought that Ami had never said to us before that the Brotherhood was taking charge of generating life for the galaxy. I believed that it was producing alone. But he caught my thought and he said, "Did you forget Calibur?" It was true. In our previous trip he took us to Calibur, Assyrian's planet, and to us he said that it was a station of creation of vegetable species and that there were living only genetic engineers. But I had forgotten the fact that it was exactly that Vinca, and I understood that we were soulmates. That's why my memories of Calibur was associated only with our love. Shiryu continued, "The Brotherhood is composed of civilizations of many species of intelligent beings. Some have been with us from very ancient times, others recently integrated, and when they are evolved enough nearing the completion of their existence, they request other civilizations to be considered evolved and at the least be accepted as members. These conditions, Ami had already mentioned them to me in its first trip. He said that to deserve to integrate in the Brotherhood, the worlds must have left being divided into countries and borders, and they must have reached the stage in which all nations and ethnic groups manage to constitute one unit, that is to say, to transform in one village directed by a world government. But a planetary dictatorship also then might be considered to be a world government, and as this is not what the Brotherhood wishes, Ami clarified that this world must adhere to the fundamental law of universe, that is to say, love the universal love, and if that is fulfilled, then there is already neither more injustice nor suffering, and only then this civilization is accepted as a member of the Brotherhood. Every recognized civilization, after a time of evolution and progress assisted by Brotherhood, reaches the stage in which it has the duty to begin to work in improving the life in a world devoid of intelligent life." The matter was becoming more and more interesting. The galactic authorities assign a young planet to the new sowers, one world of the size and gravity adaptable by their own species, because they have to construct work bases and to live in them during millenniums and millenniums. For you the time has a different duration than for us. My race came million years ago to this world. We settled firstly in orbital bases and constructed underground citadels. Then we moved into them, and from there we proceeded to be employed at the improving of the ecosystems with a very precise target. For it we modified some already existing species or created others in our genetic laboratories, or we brought someone from other worlds adapting them to these terrestrial conditions. Also we work on the climates and properties of the seas. Our race comes from the cosmos, but I and most of who we are here belong to a lineage that has many generations inhabiting the Earth, the planet which we love as much as a farmer loves the farm that he has created and in which he lives. Also this beautiful world is the hearth of our ancestors and of their descendants, that is to say us. For this reason we consider ourselves Earthlings, and we are so from heart. We are here from much before you. Then I understood that that's why they were feeling authorized to spy on us. Apparently we were the invaders and not they. I will do parentheses here to report something that happened much later in my house near the sea. When later Ami gave me the small help that I mentioned, and that soon I will report, I could find out about the theory of Darwin, that of the evolution of the species. And then I remembered the words of Shiryuk and wanted my friend to clarify a little more about these things to me. Ami, when we were in Shambhala, Shiryuk said that they had intervened in the evolution of life in this planet. But, and the Darwin theory? I asked him a little before our farewell. The natural evolution is real, he answered, but it can be guided with an intention so defined that it produces the awaited results. They do something similar at present in your centers of genetic investigation. If you want to produce an apple or one rabbit of certain characteristics, you cannot wait that the nature and the evolution alone are going to produce it, because it is possible that it never does it. Shiryu continued, this way we help the evolution of the simians, the monkeys, because they were going to be predecessors of the motive of all this creation, the human being. The current man is the result of a crossing in our laboratories of genes of one terrestrial primate, and our genes originated from the stars. A chill engulfed me when I listened to that one. They had created us, and with genes of themselves. And to relieve and to assure the survival of the man, the fact was that we helped the appearance or improvement of animals which could be so useful as the horse, the camel, the elephant, the hen, and the dog. For him, the fact was that we created food like wheat, corn, several fruits, potato, and rice. Vinku and I were absorbed listening to the explanations of Shiryuk. Ami said to us that more or less the same had happened in Kia, but from another stellar species, the one that was prevailing in Shia Salim, to which our friends disguised as Terrace belonged. The Shambhala man continued, that's why the current man is a son of the sky and of the ground, that's why sometimes it is subhuman and sometimes superhuman. It has an animal nature and a stellar nature. That was clearing many doubts. Then Shiryuk wanted to do a summary. The purpose of the creation of terrestrial human beings was that of helping the appearance of a new species that, after evolving up to level that allows them to integrate into the Brotherhood, is capable of cooperating with the Brotherhood. And it is not a question of collaborating in wars of galaxies, which you might think, but in its innumerable works of civilizing and perfecting the galactic life. Once integrated, it will be able to receive on behalf of the Brotherhood the scientific help, technological and spiritual help that will allow them to leave behind forever the pain, the injustice, insecurity, and the death. There it was, as if a blindfold on my eyes had fallen down. I understood everything, the reason behind Ami's visits, that of my books, the plan of help, the superior sense of religions, etc. After Ami's farewell, and thanks to his small help, I could find out also about the ancient Incas. Then it seemed to me that everything reported by the man of Shambhala was perfectly comparable with what the people of that village did. They had one civilization much more advanced than that of other natives who were living in South America. But they had another way of looking at life from a higher perspective, wise and deep, more integrated with nature and the universal laws. That is why they did not act as other conquerors did. Instead of triumphing, dominating by force and enslaving the lesser advanced people that they found in their way, the Incas offered them protection and civilizing education. In return, they were asking the empire for its peaceful and voluntary integration, so to cooperate with him. This way, this village could grow in a big part of the South America, and there was not any injustice. It was neither a dictatorship nor a tyranny. Every citizen was protected by the empire in such a wide way that many historians think that the social safety in Europe in the same epoch was in nappies compared with the system prevailing between the Incas. But they could not integrate other village like those which were living in the Amazon forests, because these were still in a level too primitive. And we at present are like these Amazon natives. We are very egoistic to integrate into such a high system where everything is shared fraternally, but if we do not destroy ourselves earlier, inevitably we will become part of the Brotherhood of Evolved Worlds. With this purpose we were created. Shiryuk also said that each of us has his own responsibility, quote, to in evolution of all our species. By it is made essential that each one struggles in overcoming his inner part. He stressed that this is an individual work, because only by the efforts for inner growth by the individuals the entire human species could grow in evolution. Also, he said that we are in a very special phase of our development, a phase in which if the predominance of our animal nature over our spirit nature continues, something that has happened from the beginning of the man until now, the collapse of our civilization is inevitable and imminent, because only now all the villages are interdependent, and because only now it is counted at a technological level capable of producing big disasters in the planetary life. He said that if we should apply the technology that we already have in the protection and improving of our planetary life and of our civilization, which an intelligent species should be doing, then in very less time we might construct a new and happy world for all. Later he added more or less the same that Ami said in his first trip, that is to say that in case the disaster happens in which the life of thousands of millions could be lost, they would be in charge of rescuing and preserving the individuals who have the evolutionary level enough to transform into the initiators of a new humanity. He said that the desirable thing is that these cataclysms do not take place, and that's why it is necessary that all those that are already conscious of these things work intensely in the diffusion of the light, so much in themselves as around them. He put special emphasis on that we do not transform ourselves into prophets of the apocalypse or messengers of the death the way many think that they are serving human evolution, when in fact what they do is to sow fear, terror and despair, divulging messages that fill the hearts with anxiety, which only reduces the quality of the mental ambience of the humanity with which the hope of a global salvation diminishes. In one moment Shiryuk said there is already no more time. And I felt fear then. I thought that he had fallen in a contradiction, because with those words he was himself looking like a messenger of the death. But he clarified to me that it meant that there is no more time to be lost, that only up to this moment we were allowed to continue without doing serious efforts to change internally and externally, and that from now on everyone must transform into a messenger of love, and that it must reflect in his own life. At this point I felt bad, because in spite of having known many elevated things deep inside, I am a normal boy like all, and although I am not a scoundrel, I have also not behaved as a messenger should behave with love. I could not do it for three reasons. First, because I do not have the capacity. My measurements do not reach. Second, although they were reaching, I could not have acted very different from the ways of other boys of my school and of my surroundings. In case I did behave differently, then they would have taken me as material for their mockery pitfalls and heavy pranks. No, thank you. That's why I acted more or less like the whole world, and that was very far from the behavior of a messenger of love. Third, my grandmother already mentioned the drawbacks of knowing superior beings. On the one hand, it harmed me, because from then on I was capable of detecting immediately certain defects of others better than they themselves, because I could not avoid comparing them with Ami and with the people of Ophir. That was making me close the heart to them sometimes. And this way, instead of transform myself into a more affectionate being, it was the other way round. It was clear that Ami made me see that had not acquired the same aptitude to detect my own defects. Worse then. The words that Shiryuk said later comforted me: your errors of the past and current, they must be overcome little by little, day to day, and that can only be achieved from the beginning, that is to say, defining clearly the main target of your lives, which must be of serving the growth of love first in your interior, and then we will have to go adapting our behavior and actions to this main intention without ever forgetting it, like it was a fixed idea in the mind and a living sensation in the heart, until we transformed into a better, more responsible and conscious, more affectionate beings and charitable all the time. But I repeat, this is a gradual work, little by little, beginning with one defect and continuing with other. Later he said to us that still there exists the possibility of a global planetary change without any terrible death tolls or sufferings, but always clearly understand that there is already not any more time, that is to say that from now on we will not be able to lose our time. Later he expressed that the happiness becomes more and more indispensable, the healthy good mood, the optimism, the hope, the courage, the innocence of the soul, the faith, the pardon, the responsibility, the help to the fellow man, and the real love, because these are the energies that the humanity needs, and each one to pass to another level of existence. He added that it is necessary that we move away from everything that sows fear, despair and degradation that is already inside or out of us. He said that we must be a little more severed with our inferior tendencies and more strict at the moment of choosing our friends or drivers. To end, he mentioned to us the defects that we must avoid at all costs in ourselves, because if they are very big, they will prevent us from being part of the new world. They are: envy, egoism, violence, materialism, to wish evil for the neighbor, intellectual, emotional, material and sexual irresponsibility, ingratitude, bad mood, and all the orders distinguished by our religions. It called me into a great attention that the envy and the egoism were located in the first place, because for us this is something with which we coexisted every day. But now it is a question of setting the bases of a new world, and these bad would not fit the because they tend to cause division in the human family, and what is asked for there is the opposite, Ami explained to me. Chiryuk could wide open many windows of understanding in us. Later we could converse with him in a more relaxed form. There I could riddle him with my questions. Then you are our creators. That is how it is.